But you're all wondering, huh? I was thinking, 2 weeks ago today, we were doing something that we have never done before in our whole entire lives. So while you were here, we were parasailing over the Gulf of Mexico. It was awesome.
Closer to God.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Do it again in a minute. We get to stay at a resort on the Gulf of Mexico. And so we were able to walk just a short distance from our hotel room every day down into the Gulf. It was amazing. We were at a resort that had over six pools. I was trying to figure out all. I could count six, but I think I missed a couple. And we spent a lot of time in the pools with our grandkids. And we were also at a place where it was like very hot and humid. So you know that humidity where you take a shower and why bother? Okay, is that humid? Yeah. The point is, we were surrounded by water. But one of our greatest risks while we were there was the risk of becoming dehydrated. Now, I'm not going to tell you, and you can relax, I'm not going to tell you all about our vacation, and I'm not going to show you all the great adorable pictures of our grandkids, although I could. But Dan asked me to come and share today as a healthcare provider what dehydration is. Very simply, dehydration is an imbalance of the water that we take in and the water that we give out or put out. That's the mechanism of dehydration. It's we take in less water, less fluid, than the fluid amount that we give out. It's a simple mechanism, happens for a variety of reasons, but the mechanism is simple. However, the complications of dehydration can be simple all the way to fatal. Some people die of dehydration. So we want to talk about that. Our psalm today, Psalm 42, talks about spiritual dehydration. One of the first clinical manifestations or symptoms that we all experience when we're dehydrated is we get thirsty. We start to feel our hormones tell our brain, hey, you need a little more water, and we feel that sense of thirst.
You know, in Psalm 42, the psalmist writes, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? So it's one thing to have a physical thirst, but what's it like to have a spiritual thirst? Have you ever felt thirsty for God? Have you ever panted for God? Maybe it means that you wanted to know God personally. Your life had come to the very bottom, and you knew there had to be something more. Or maybe you already knew God, but it's not really what you expected it to be. Some of those initial wonderful moments haven't played out, and you find yourself kind of thirsty, kind of dry. Well, Jesus talked about this in John 4 with the woman at the well. And he said, everyone who drinks this well water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, the woman who was an unbeliever at this point in her life, she had experienced thirst, but it was thirst for sin. It was a thirst for the world. You know, it's what our people are telling us today. Go after this, go after that. That's really going to quench your thirst to make your life worthwhile. And she found that wasn't true. I think she had come to that point, but she didn't know where to turn until she had that conversation with Jesus at the well. And as she sat there and he shared with her, all of a sudden she realized what she had was not what she wanted, not what she needed. She wanted the living water that Jesus was talking about. And praise God, that day at the well with Jesus, she quenched her thirst. by drinking deeply of Jesus' living water and became a Christ follower. And so I think the key for us, we want this message to be very application-oriented. What are our takeaways? Do we thirst after God Himself in such a way that we often drink deeply of His living water, of His Spirit, of His Word, of Himself? And if we're not careful, we can bypass the warning signal of thirst and start gradually moving toward the far more serious complications of spiritual dehydration.
Another clinical manifestation, can you tell I'm a nurse? So I'll try. It's a symptom. Another symptom of dehydration is dryness. Now, some of you have experienced that, or think about it in the winter when we all have that dryness and our mouth feels chapped and our skin gets dry, we need more lotion. As a healthcare provider, we look at people's skin turgors, what we call it, and can we pinch their skin and is there some good rebound? Do they have enough water in their system? This last week, I was mowing our front grass, our front lawn, and I started out just fine, but halfway through, I realized my mouth was hurting. I needed a drink of water. In fact, it got to be where I just felt kind of a pain in my mouth, and I'm sure Polly Hebig, she was here someplace, she was in a triathlon yesterday. I'm sure she felt that same dryness and really significant thirst in her mouth. That happens to all of us as we progress with dehydration.
Well, that dehydration then carries over to us spiritually as well, only instead of experiencing it in our body, we experience it in our soul. And I'm not so sure we're aware of that. Our hearts start to shrivel up. And it seems that God was not as close to us as He once was. Spiritual things are not important to us as they once were. Now, we can still go to church, maybe even teach Sunday school and serve on committees, and all of those things are really good things to do. But we do these functions out of habit, as opposed to out of passion, out of love for God. With spiritual dryness, we find that what's happening is we're having a declining or a diminishing desire for Christian fellowship, for growth opportunities. How do you know that? Well, here at the church, I think there's a lot of things going on, and every once in a while, you'll hear about these different growth opportunities, but if your first response is, I don't think so, or I don't need that, maybe somebody else needs that, but I don't need that, maybe that's where you are. We know we should read the Bible, don't we? We know we should be praying, but sometimes we find that we don't do it very often. It seems so dry, so uninspired, so lifeless. It's just not meeting my need. So let me just ask you this. Do you ever feel as a Christian that your life is on autopilot? There's a church in the book of Revelation that I think talks about that. It's the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. And it says, I know your deeds and your hard work and your perseverance, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height to which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Now, I want you to notice something about this church. This is not a bad church. It's a good church. It's an active church. They have commendable programs, but they had lost their motivation for worship and service, their motivation of love. Please notice that at this stage, the spiritual dryness is subtly becoming worse. And I think the key word there is subtle. This just doesn't happen to us like, wow, I'm really getting thirsty spiritually here. No, it's subtle. It's gradual. And these people have not been drinking from any living water for quite a while. These people have not been... what happens is no longer is simply a matter of taking a drink, but rather it involves more serious measures. They needed repentance. They needed to turn around. They needed to do the things that they did at first. An intentional effort to return to close fellowship with the Lord was required, was important. More drastic measures are needed as dehydration increases.
When I first talked about what dehydration was, I used the word imbalance, and that's what really dehydration is. It's an imbalance of what fluid you take in as compared to the amount of fluid that you put out. When we look at that imbalance, your body constantly, whether you know it or not, is being regulated to keep a balance. So if your interstitial spaces, those spaces in the body, the extrastitial or extracellular spaces, that's where your blood is. If that's not getting enough fluid, it will pull it out of your cells. That is way more than you wanted to know this Sunday morning, I'm sure. Okay? But that's what happens. Otherwise, what happens is our blood itself starts to get thicker. And we don't think about it because our body regulates it. But that's what's happening. You start to get a little thicker blood. You start to become a little sluggish. That imbalance also, as it's pulling water out of the cells, pulls electrolytes. And all of a sudden, you start to have some electrolyte imbalances. That makes you weaker. As dehydration progresses, you get sluggish and you get weaker.
Boy, does that ever apply to us spiritually. As we become more spiritually dehydrated, as we have kind of been removed from the presence of God, we're talking about being removed from the Spirit of God, not fellowshipping with Him. And so the Spirit of God is not flowing in and through us as we were designed to be. And so what happens is we find ourselves having little energy or enthusiasm for worship, for God's word, for God's work. We start drifting away from God and His people. We drop out of involvement with church ministries. We become sporadic in church attendance. We no longer look forward to meeting with Christian friends. That's no longer a priority in our lives. We become spiritually lethargic, and our condition worsens. Psalm 32:4, we had talked about that before when David spoke about his experience with God, but he said, "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." It was sapped. So to allow spiritual dehydration to get to this level, neglecting our relationship with God and fellowship with one another, what causes that? Could be something as simple as busyness, distractedness. Maybe our priorities. We talked about electrolytes being out of balance. Maybe spiritual electrolytes are our priorities. And as they get out of balance, the decisions that we make, the time, where we spend it, with whom, all of a sudden gets thrown out of balance. And we're not where we should be with God. So we fall prey, you know. With busyness, what happens is we don't take the time to sit down and think. We don't take the time to sit down and pray. We don't take the time to sit down and to reflect on the goodness of the Lord, or to appreciate His grace. We fall prey to ceaseless activity, and there's a deep weariness that happens in our soul. Now, we're working and playing harder, but we're enjoying it less. In the midst of our busyness, God becomes less important in our lives. We say that we love Him, but we sure don't spend much time with Him.
As you physically become dehydrated, one of the organs that where you notice that is in your eyes. They can get dry and itchy. Sometimes we want to rub them more because we don't have the fluid, we don't have the tears there that keep our eyes moist. And actually, as it becomes worse, your eyes can become sunken. Sometimes you'll see that in critically ill patients where their eyes are sunken in the socket. There's just not enough fluid there. That impacts your vision.
So spiritually, we can start having difficulty seeing. We lose sight of who God is, His glory, His power, His love. We lose sight of where God is working. It appears to us that, man, He's not really doing anything. Well, the point is, He really is doing things, but we're just not seeing it. One of the things we do as staff on a weekly basis, one of the questions that we talk about is kind of God sightings. You know, where is God at work in your life? Where is God at work in the church? Or have you seen that? And there are times that we stop and we're silent because we're thinking, where is God at work? And we have to be intentional, and then all of a sudden we'll start talking because we will remember where God has been at work in our life that week. We lose sight of the beauty and the authority of God's Word. Instead of possessing keen insight with the Bible and what God is trying to tell us, we have difficulty time focusing on spiritual realities, godly priorities, life goals. It becomes easier to lose our way. Jesus dealt with the same thing back in his day. It's not like it's new. In Mark, he said, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear?"
Finally, one of the organ systems that is greatly impacted by dehydration is your nervous system, and in particular, your brain. Your brain is so very sensitive to fluid and electrolyte imbalances. In fact, for some people, instead of feeling thirsty, they start to feel a headache. And watch that for yourself. This is a freebie. If you notice during the day that, you know, maybe about 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, you just kind of feel sluggish and a little headachy, instead of reaching for that bottle of Tylenol or Advil, reach for a drink of water. Because sometimes what your body's telling you is, I'm thirsty. That's sometimes the first thing people notice. But in the brain, you start to feel headachy. You can start to feel then it's a spectrum, and you start to feel kind of restless, apprehensive. And for some people, when it's severe enough, it leads into a coma, seizures, coma, and it can be fatal. I was thinking about this as we were preparing for today, and I thought, my mom passed away a little over a year ago, and basically it was the results of serious dehydration. Now, she was at a place in her life where she couldn't anymore take in fluid, but that dehydration is what really caused her to pass away. And she was in her 90s and she went to glory, so that was okay, but that's kind of the mechanism that happens to a lot of us as we are no longer able to take in fluid.
Look again at Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Verse 6, my soul is downcast within me. Verse 7, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. Verse 9, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why have you forgotten me? See, spiritually at this point, we have drifted far from God. And instead of peace and contentment and godly thinking, we're filled with anxiety about our lives. All the time, everything that comes up is causing us to be anxious. We become confused about who God really is. We become confused about who we really are. And instead of running to Him in our hour of need, we run away from Him. We become spiritually comatose. So I don't know, as we have talked about these symptoms from dehydration or spiritual dehydration, if you have identified with any of these, but spiritual dehydration can happen quickly. And yet subtly, it kind of sneaks up on us. And if we don't listen to the warning signs of thirst, we can become spiritually barren, dry, dehydrated, or dead. Well, the good news today is that there is a cure for spiritual dehydration. And we see that here, and that is to pursue the living water. Pursue the living water. The psalmist remembered what his life had been like before the dryness, before this downward spiritual spiral. Verse 4, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with a multitude leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng." You see, the psalmist recognized that he needed to do something. It wasn't okay just to say, well, you know, it's not the best, but we'll just kind of go with it. No, he needed to take action. He knew that spiritual dryness could be overcome again. And by the way, when we talk about spiritual dryness, we all face spiritual dryness from time to time, don't we? I mean, that's a life deal. You can be excited about Jesus. You can go through that part of your life, and it doesn't take much to get caught up with some other things, and you find yourself spiritually dry. So it doesn't have to be fatal, but it will happen, and it will have to be dealt with deliberately. And that's what the psalmist did. When our feelings of closeness are gone, if we find ourselves in a dry season, the important thing to do is to take action. And the psalmist makes a deliberate decision to take action for the dryness of his soul. Look at verse 5. "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Verse 11, put your hope in God. This is an action. It's a willful, conscious action. You know, when life feels hopeless, stop putting your hope in your feelings. Stop putting your hope in circumstances, right? Put your hope in God. Romans 15, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." You see, with God, there's always hope. For spiritual dryness, he said, come to the waters that he provides. Let's read that together. You see it on the screen. Isaiah 55, 1. Let's read that. Is it there now? "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat." Kind of reminds me of that song we just sang earlier, right, Seth? "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Well, come to the waters. See, there's a lot of wells to drink from today. And they're advertised all over. Come to this well. This is going to make your life. That's going to make your life. But there's only one well that offers living water. There's only one well that satisfies. And there's only one well that gives new life, abundant life, and eternal life. That well is Jesus Christ. In John 7, Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And then in Revelation, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever's thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. So if you're feeling spiritually dry today, come and drink.
I started by talking about our trip to Mexico a couple of weeks ago. And I said we were surrounded by water. There was water in the Gulf, there was water in the pools, there was water everywhere. Mm-hmm.
In the air.
But we couldn't drink that water. If we'd have drank the water from the Gulf, it was too much salt. That would have killed us as well if that was the only water we drank. So that water wasn't good for us to drink. We had to really work to not be dehydrated. But the resort knew that. And so they had people that came to our rooms with just carts of water for us to have, bottled water. How many bottles? And I'm not talking about this size. They were like big bottles of water they wanted us to be drinking. And there were servers out on the pools and at the beach, and there were servers in the restaurant, all making sure that we got enough water. But we had to remember to drink it. We had to accept what they were offering us, and we had to open it and consume it.
You've heard it said that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I guess what we're saying today is, let's not be that way. The truth is, we sometimes can be just like that horse. I mean, we've got the living water of God's Word all around us. I mean, think about that. We've got Bibles in our homes, or these days, we've got cell phones with Bible apps. We've got Bibles in church. So we've got all this water, living water, we're surrounded by it. But you know what I think one of the issues is? And I struggle with this. I like to sip water as opposed to guzzle water. And sometimes when you're dehydrated, whether it's physically or spiritually, there are times where if you take a bottle of water or a big glass of water and down it, that's what you need. You don't need a little sip. You need a big drink. And maybe that's what we're talking about here today. Today, Jesus is offering you that fresh and alive and rewarding faith through him, that living water that only he can provide. And he's offering you a huge lake of fresh living water, just like Rainy Lake, only it's even bigger. You couldn't even imagine about drinking all the water from Rainy Lake. I know you have to purify it. I got that. But that's a lot of water out there, isn't it? You think about an endless resource of the living water that Jesus has for you and for me that will never run dry. So don't be like the horse or the mule. Drink. Come and drink of his word. Come and drink of his spirit. Come and drink of himself. Let's bow, shall we? Lord God, we come to you today, and I think the operative word besides dehydration is come. Come to you. Come and drink. And Lord, I don't know, there might be somebody here today who has known about you, has known that they need to come to you inevitably at some time or another, but they haven't done it yet. But they are almost like the woman at the well, understanding that their life has fallen so far short, it has fallen apart in so many ways, and it's not what it could be or should be. Lord, my prayer is that that person today will come. They'll come to you, Lord Jesus, and be saved. And for those of us here who know you and have known you maybe for a long time, we know what it's like to have the ups and downs. We know what it's like to be vibrant and alive and well-watered from your word. And we know those times when we feel like we're walking through the desert and we're not going to make it. Maybe somebody's there today. Maybe because of difficult circumstances, maybe it's dryness just in their soul. They've almost lost hope. Well, today, Lord, help us to realize that that living water is always available. And we can come to you and drink. And that's what we want to do today. And we want to drink deeply so that you can fill us with forgiveness, fill us with life, fill us with your love, fill us with your presence, fill us with your spirit. Lord, renew your people today as we come to you. And it's in your name we pray.